What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another episode of the Three in the Key podcast. We got a good one today. Myself, Rai Chai, that's what the friends call me. Feel free to do the same. Joined not only by the one and only MD, but also by special guest and also a recurring guest of the show, Mid-Range Mark. Mark, how are you doing, man?
Thank you, Rai Chai. Yo, Rai Chai, MD, it's good to be back. It's been a long and sad break from you guys, but it's ending definitely in some beautiful shining lights for the Hollywood players, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh, I know what you're saying. And I got to say, the last time you were on the show, I think you were in the backseat of a car recording with us. Am I right?
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir. We have definitely upgraded. You guys have definitely upgraded, and I'm loving this new setup you got going on. I'm comfortable.
We're doing the whole virtual podcast recording thing. It feels like everything's virtual these days.
Oh, definitely.
But I kind of miss being close with you guys in the car, you know, just feeling each other's body heat while we talk Lakers. There's nothing like that.
That's true. I definitely miss looking at y'all's faces. I hope y'all are doing very well and being safe during this time.
Doing our best. We're all safe and healthy, so, you know, it's a blessing for sure. MD, how are you doing, my friend?
Doing all right. Is someone breathing, like, really hard? There's, like, wind. There's, like, wind
maybe
beneath. I'm just trying to figure it out, what's going on, but I'm doing great other than this wind. I don't know if it's me. Maybe it's me, you know? Flying.
I had a picture of, like, you know, some Chick-fil-A pulled up on my computer screen, so I might have been getting a little excited.
Ooh, that sounds so good. So good.
I'll minimize that tab now. All right, well, glad we're all doing well. Mid-Range Mark, a pleasure to have you on. Looking forward to talking ball with you. And it's nothing short of the absolute best time to have you on because my friend, MD, Lakers playoffs are back.
They are back. Woo! Let's go, Laker fans!
Let's go. It is literally the day before Lakers playoff basketball tips off. We're recording this on Monday, and the Lakers play their first playoff game against the Blazers tomorrow on Tuesday at 6 p.m. And I want to do our best to dissect that series in this episode, talk about what we're most interested to see, what the strategy should be for stopping Dame time. But before we do that, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves too much because I want to pay a little bit of respect to the long drought that has been these last 7 years without a playoff series because we have endured quite a lot getting to this point. So MD, can you just tell us a little bit about what it's been like these last 7 years and kind of just how much sweeter it makes this moment being in the playoffs now?
It's been hard. I don't even have words because I don't even want to talk about those times. It was a hard, long drought. I mean, I was thankful for it because Laker games were cheap and easy to go to. But at the same time, seeing us lose to Dallas, to the Pelicans, to teams that were even going to make the playoffs, oh man, so hard. And we had so many notable draft picks, so much hope put in the Julius Randles, the D'Los, the B.I.s, the Lonzo Balls, and just to see them not pan out and for us to just lose, ugh, heartbreak. But thankful to be here, thankful to be where we're at, and it couldn't be sweeter than it is now, right? Distance makes the heart grow fonder, and not being in the playoffs has definitely made me appreciate playoffs so much more this year.
Absolutely. We were only distant. We might as well have been playing in the G League, in a completely different league for a long, long time. We had some very sketchy starting lineups that we were rolling out for a while.
So, bro, you're going to talk about Marcelo Huertas like this when he was our starting point guard? Talk about Marcelo like that?
Marcelo, Ryan Kelly, Sacre. I mean, the list goes on and on. I'm just glad that I don't have to be talking about them anymore.
Same.
Is that disrespectful?
It's honesty.
I'm sure they're great guys, but I mean, when you have, when you're spoiled with, you know, a Lakers franchise like we have been growing up with so many titles, and you go through that type of stretch and those types of rosters, it hurts. And I think you develop a little bit of bitterness.
Well, when you need to hide behind Eric Spoelstra to get a steal and get a layup like that, that's when you know it's bad. That's when you know your team's really, really bad.
That's true. That was a classic moment, though.
It was hilarious. But I would never, ever want to see the Lakers have to do that again to get a bucket.
How about mid-range, Mark? What about you, my friend? What's these last 7 years been like for you? And what does this moment mean now that we're finally here?
You know, for me, I always bring it back to the fact that playing in LA, you have to be a different breed. I think that being number one, we have Kobe Bryant. We had Kobe Bryant. Rest in peace. Miss you, man. Wish we could all still see him bounce a ball again, right? But yeah, we had Kobe coming off of, you know, winning with Powell and back then, and that post era was just anybody who came through had that chip on their shoulder, and if you didn't step up to the plate, you would just get drowned in the pressure. And I think that's kind of, I feel like, what happened. And I got to see players come in and out of the Laker organization who I had hope for, and then just to kind of crumble under the pressure of LA, the Hollywood Lights, Kobe being your teammate, et cetera, just having to day in and day out deal with that was difficult for the players and for me to watch as well, because like we're talking about right now, 7 years and we just haven't reached that pinnacle, and now here we are where we've got guys who I'm praying are going to step up and be able to handle being in the limelight, because they've got great stars in LeBron and AD, and we've got an amazing supporting cast. And they just got to step up to the plate and do what they've been doing all year long. Don't forget it. Just don't forget it. Oh, I'm excited, boys. I'm excited.
Well said. I'm excited too, man. I cannot wait. It's kind of surreal to think about the fact that the playoffs are starting and the Lakers are in it. Like in the big grand scheme of things, 7 years isn't really that long for a franchise, but for the Lakers, oh my gosh, it's an eternity. It was brutal having to watch some of the teams in the playoffs over the last 7 years and know that the Lakers couldn't even have a better record than some of these teams that were making it, you know? So I'm so happy that we're back in it. It's going to be fun rooting for the Lakers in the postseason. And the Lakers aren't just in the playoffs. They're one of the title contenders, one of the title favorites. So I mean, we couldn't really ask for more right now, so I'm super, super stoked. And then for me, I mean, it's crazy, man. I'm just thinking about the last playoff game for the Lakers took place on April 27th of 2013. I mean, how long ago does that sound? That sounds like a lifetime ago. I mean, I was barely out of diapers during that year. It feels like forever ago. I just pulled up here. I was just like randomly searching. I'm like, what happened in 2013? Because I mean, it feels like it was a long time ago. You know how they have like those random facts of what happened like in the 70s or the 60s?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Here's a few facts for you guys. It wasn't even that long ago, but you know, we're going to indulge my curiosity. The cost of a dozen eggs in 2013 was $1.88. The cost of a loaf of bread, $1.98. The average cost of a new house, $289,000. During this time, one of the notable events that took place, President Obama was inaugurated for his second term on January 21st. Just a few things that took place a lifetime ago. But we are here in 2020 now, boys. And while it's been a tough year, the Lakers are about to begin a playoff run. And I'm stoked.
Same. You forgot to add one more. Back in 2013, Dwight still thought he was a superstar.
That is so true. Funny you're saying that because I'm literally looking at the playoff roster and
that was our last playoff game. He was on that this, roster.
Dude, man. This roster is just my goodness. It got us to the playoffs for sure, but and look what they did with it. What we have now, we gotta go far, guys. We gotta get the glue and put us back to the winning ways.
Absolutely. 100% agree. We've come a long way. So, like I mentioned earlier, the Lakers will be playing the Blazers in this first round of the Western Conference playoffs. And there's a lot to dissect here. Good, bad. There's even some ugly for the Lakers that I think needs to be addressed if we're going to not just beat the Blazers, of course, but make a deep playoff run. So let's get into that next. All right, we are back. So it's time to get to the nitty gritty. We're going to start to dissect this series with the Blazers. The first game, as we mentioned earlier, is taking place on Tuesday at 6 p.m. Game one. Lakers have home court advantage. Not that it really means anything anymore, but we are stoked nonetheless. So I want to start with this, guys. What are we most interested to see in this series? Whether it's a matchup, whether it's a coaching scheme, whether it's how the heck we're going to defend Dame, what is it that we're most interested that's going to take place? So mid-range, Mark, take it away.
Thank you, Rajai. For me, it's definitely going to be the backup and all the extra key players stepping up and helping out AD and LeBron. It's got to be. We went through the extra mile to add new additions during this little break that we had of J.R. Smith and Bubble Cheese, if you would, Dion Waiters. And I'm not impressed.
Same.
Don't get me wrong. Bubble Cheese will make me ooh and ah with his 360 layups and just jacking up these threes that he nails somehow. But, you know, J.R. Smith looks very rusty and nervous to me. We got key players like Danny Green. I feel like I saw him hit his first three in the bubble like four or five games in. it's that. It's seeing these guys take the playoffs seriously. You know, people like Dwight, who's got his redemption going on. You know, I want to see them come out with some grit. I want to see them growl at these other guys, put some fear back into the other teams, and respect the Lakers, because we are number one for a reason. And we've got to prove that no matter what, this series is going to be a dogfight, and we've got to prove that.
Yeah, that's a good point. Good point for sure. How about you, MD? What are you most interested to see in this matchup?
For me, it's two things. One, our perimeter defense. Without Avery Bradley, our star defensive player, with Alex Caruso getting extended minutes, Danny Green, KCP, with us relying on that kind of perimeter defense, how effective is that going to be against the Russell Westbrooks, against the James Hardens, against the Dames, the CJ McCollums, against every team that we're going to have to face in order to win this championship has stars at those perimeter spots, at those wing spots. And so in order for us to win, we're going to have to maybe not stop them, but slow them down or at least make it difficult for them to score. Because each one of those guys can win at least one game on his own, if not a series, if we can't stop them. Second point, I'm still waiting for our bigs to show up, Anthony Davis included. There has not been any consistency. There has not been, like, our defense, perimeter defense, I mean, inside defense has been mediocre. We're not that defensive stalwart of old that we saw, and as to Mark's point as to why we were the number one seed, where teams were scared to drive in on us. They did not want to drive. They would always drive and kick because JaVale's going to get a block, AD's going to get a block, or Dwight's going to get a block. We don't have that right now. And at the same time, on the other end as well, we're not being big. AD's taking so many threes. Dwight and JaVale are not taking over getting offensive rebounds. It's just not the Lakers basketball that we saw 4 months ago as to why we got that one seed. And I want to see if they can recapture that and play it through this playoffs, because then I think we actually have a shot at a championship.
Yeah, that's a good point. And it made me think back to, remember when Dwight was just going off for the Lakers and how much of a lift that was, because AD, as great as he is defensively, it's nice that he can have an additional, you know, additional backup to him who can be just as dominant sometimes. That'd be awesome if Dwight could, you know, show that in the playoffs, that's in some capacity.
I mean, I honestly thought he was going to be the number one guy to step up, knowing AB was gone. You know, his and when he becomes defensive minded and he brings that energy, everybody feeds off it. How do you not smile when that guy smiles?
So true.
when he's defensive minded, everybody else will be too. I feel like, yeah, he's definitely a key player to look out on the defensive end for us.
Yeah, he really is. For me, the thing I'm most interested to see is whether or not our shooters are going to start to hit some shots, because, and I talked about this last week with MD on the podcast, where Danny Green is such an integral piece to our offense. I know he's not going to, you know, always average a ton of points or anything like that, but he's someone who has to be hitting his open 3-point attempts, because he's going to get a lot of looks, and his 3-point shots have a lot of potential to swing momentum or to continue momentum or to build on a big lead. And when he's not hitting them, it sucks, because oftentimes he's getting such a great look and they're just not going in for whatever reason. So if he can get out of that slump, then I think that the Lakers can win this series pretty handily, because there's going to be a lot of attention, obviously, on AD and LeBron, but we need to have some points starting to get accumulated outside of those two guys. And I think Danny Green is a huge piece that, although he's not going to fill up the scorer's box, when he's hitting his shots, it makes a big, big difference in whether or not the Lakers win. So that's what I'm most interested to see, if those shots are going to start to fall at some point. So this is going to bring me to my next point here that I want to talk about with you guys. Obviously, elephant in the room, Dame Dollar is on the opposite side of the Lakers on any given night in this series. And it's going to be pretty scary to think about what he's going to do against our backcourt, especially since it's pretty depleted. So I want to pose the question to you fellas. If you were Frank, good old Frank, what would you do? What would be your approach to trying to slow down Damian Lillard, if there is a way at all? What would be your approach? Mid-range mark, MD, whichever one of you guys wants to take it first, take a stab.
I don't think you can stop him. There's no stopping Damian Lillard right now. The way he's playing, the way that he's changed his game to shoot even farther back now from the logo, where he's like, okay, like you're going to have to start dubbing me from the logo. His passing has improved so much from previous years, his playmaking ability. It's just, you can't stop him. You can slow him down. To me, it's the Lakers need to focus on stopping everyone else, limiting CJ McCollum, or at least making him inefficient, stopping Nurk from getting 10 points or double digits, stopping Gary Trent Jr. from getting those open threes. Damian Lillard is going to get his. He's a killer. He is a certified killer. And he's going to do it no matter who's guarding him, even if it's AD or LeBron. It's that other team, his teammates, that we've got to stop.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. There's no stopping Damian Lillard. He's going to score. He's going to be the top scorer almost with certainty every single night for the Blazers. But slowing him down, if it's possible, that's kind of what I was curious to know. But maybe it's not possible. Maybe it's not. What about you, mid-range Mark? What do you think, man? Is it possible?
I don't know, man. I don't know about Frank, but I'm shaking in my boots right now just thinking about playing against him. Look at this. The guy is a 6'2" guard who plays like he's LeBron size. Mm-hmm. I feel like one of the things that I really loved about this bubble was getting these courtside shots with the cameras that were able to kind of just zoom on the side of the court.
Yeah.
And my friends, anytime I saw Damian Lillard break away from whoever's guarding him on the three, and he drove to that lane and dunk, he looked like LeBron. He's 6'2", but he plays so confident, so big, so unafraid, and I'm not trying to sit over here and hype the guy. I'm definitely Laker for life, but I don't know. You know, you throw somebody at him, like Miles said, he's got the eye to find the open man. Who could we have right now that could just slow him down is kind of beyond me at this point. But we just hope that they're practicing. I read a little something about KCP's watching tons of footage right now, and that they find something, anything, because just pray to God. Maybe that will help, you know? Who knows?
Yeah, so this would be my approach, and I feel like this could backfire pretty drastically if it didn't work, but I would want to see Kuzma guard Lillard. And I say that because Kuzma has had a little bit of success guarding opposing teams' best players. Yeah. And there have been nights where he's gotten destroyed. I think there was a night where he was trying to guard Westbrook on one occasion. He just kept getting taken to the rack repeatedly. But there have also been some nights where he's done a decent job guarding the opposing team's best player. And some of that is can be attributed to his height, because he's long, he's lengthy, and he can move relatively well. But he's got to have that mentality going into it. So if this were to be Frank's approach, Frank would have to sit down with Kuz and be like, I need you to be fully locked in to defending. And you're going to get looks. You know, LeBron's going to be driving and kicking. AD's going to attract a lot of attention. You're still going to get looks, but I need you to be fully focused on defense. I feel like that can at least result in some slowing of Damian. But again, that could backfire terribly, and Damian could light him up for 78 points on one of the nights. But if I'm Frank, I would try and get creative and just, you know, see what could happen. It doesn't hurt, because like you guys are already hinting at, there's really no stopping him. So you might as well try to get creative.
To your point though, Raichai, sorry, MV.
Yeah.
I like that idea, because I feel like giving Kuzma such an important role, especially after how well he's been doing, could definitely be some kind of confidence boost for the guy, you know? Just like, hey, this is probably the biggest task you're going to be given during this entire bubble right now, man. Damian Lillard, the guy who's on fire right now, and you shut him down, you know, he shuts so many people up. It's a good one for him. I like that.
Yeah.
My biggest worry, and I love that, I think that's so creative, and I definitely would actually like that, because we've seen Kuzma play well against smaller guards, or those like tweeners that are in between guards and power forwards, because that's what he is, you know, he's a tweener himself. My biggest worry is guarding someone like a Damian Lillard, who you have to guard full court, like as soon as he hits the half court. I think it's just going to tire Kuz out, and I think it's going to affect him on the other side of the ball, the offensive end. And more than ever, he's been one of the few bright shining spots in this Laker bubble team, and I don't want that defensive mindedness to have him chase around Lillard the entire time, have him take away from any scoring or any shooting that he will provide, because he's the only one that really provides that third chair to AD and LeBron right now.
Yeah, that's a good point. And that actually did enter my mind as I was trying to explain my strategy as Frank. I was like, okay, if, like you said, MD, if you're expending so much effort on defense, which you would be expending a lot chasing around Dame, you're going to understandably be exhausted on offense. So when you do get the ball swung over to you, your legs are much heavier than they would be if you were guarding someone else, you know? Right. So there, it's going to be tough for sure, no doubt. But I think an interesting point to bring up too is that while the Blazers do score a lot of points, their defense is terrible. Like, I watched their last couple of games and they give up a ton of points. So I think that that's going to be, you know, a key for the Lakers in ultimately pulling out the series, if it happens, is the fact that the Blazers are just terrible on defense. So even if Dame's going off for 60 or 50, there's still a good chance that the Lakers could win a game like that, just because the Blazers are so bad on defense and the Lakers have some very potent weapons in LBJ and AD that they could still pull out one of those games. So for as much as we're hyping Dame up, like, this is the playoffs and this is a 1 seed versus an 8 seed. So there's a reason why they're in the 8th seed. And a lot of it had a lot to do with injury and whatnot. But still, even so, even if they were fully healthy, the Lakers would still be the number 1 seed regardless. So right now it's the Lakers series to lose, but Frank's going to have his hands full trying to slow down Dame for sure.
To me, series all comes down to our star, LeBron James. That's it. Just to your point, Ryan, the Blazers give a ton of points up. Can LeBron, now more than ever at 37, be the superstar that we thought he came in and was going to be? This one last time, can he carry the Lakers to a championship? Because he can drive now. There's no one that's going to match. They're not playing the Clippers. They're not playing Houston. They're playing the Portland Trail Blazers. There's no matchup on the other side of the ball that can match up well with LeBron. You have Nurkic, Hassan, that you can throw at AD and our bigs. But who can match up with LeBron? No one. No. Who are you going to put? Gary Trent Jr.? No way. So LeBron, now more than ever, and he's had a rough bubble, needs to step up and be LeBron James. If he does that, I will not worry about the series. Dame can score a ton. I know our offense will be able to handle it. LeBron James will kick, drive, score, and we'll be fine. But it's all up right now to LeBron.
Did LeBron activate Zero Dark 30 like he usually does before the playoffs?
He usually does. I don't know. I hope he did.
I know that used to be a thing he did like every year. And I don't know. I haven't seen anything. But then again, I don't pay attention to Twitter all that much. And I feel like that's where he usually announces that. I don't know, though. But you're right. Good point, MD. I mean, LeBron's gotta be LeBron, and
it's his team. Yeah,
like for Kobe, sure. It's,
if they want to win this for Kobe, Kobe would be like, "It's my team. It's my time. I don't care how much you're gonna score." You know, like that typical LeBron meme where he's got like that cigarette and he's wearing the do-rag. Dame Lil, CJ McCollum, 4 games, 5 games, don't matter. Lakers in 4. You know, that's exactly the mindset right now.
100%. And hey, you know what? LeBron's been playing some really good defense in the bubble. I know he has been struggling offensively, but maybe LeBron says, hey, Frank, let me check Dame for a little bit. That'd be pretty interesting to see if that happens on a few possessions.
That would be fun.
Oh, be definitely.
Really, remember that in that Clippers game, the very first game in the bubble, LeBron checked Kawhi like right before half. He D'd him up. And then I think at the very end of the game, too, he, like, shut him down also.
Oh, both of them. He shut down both MPG, PG and Kawhi.
Yeah. Yeah. So he has it in him. It's limited due to his age, of course. But, I mean, if there's a key possession, you know, and the Blazers have a chance to tie it or take the lead or something at the end of the game, I think you could see LeBron say, hey, let me take him. It'd be very interesting to watch that, too. All right, so getting towards the end of this preview here, we'll kind of start to sum it up here. What do you guys think is the absolute key to this series for the Lakers? If the Lakers are going to win this series, how would you sum it up as what's the most important thing that has to go right for the Lakers? MD, you start us off.
Oh, I already said it. LeBron James has to be the key. He's the key to this
series. LeBron?
It's all on LeBron. We will see now more than ever what kind of shape he is in. Can he still carry the load? Can he still be that guy? And we don't need it. I don't think we're going to need it for the entire playoffs, but for this series, we will definitely need it. AD has been to the second round once, if that, or has he even gotten out of the first round of the playoffs? I don't know. So it's
I think
all
he has once.
Run. Yeah, one time. That's what I thought. And
with
so
Rondo.
It's all on LeBron right now. He's the one that has the championship mentality, the one that can still perform, and it's up to him to lead this team.
Well said. Mid-range, what you think? What's the key?
All right. Miles, MD, I got you with that, LeBron. I'm with you all the way. I want to see some 20-10-10s, triple-doubles. I want to see it all. I also think, though, there is no I in team. And I want my boys sitting on the bench watching our starting five out there fighting in the trenches to come up and fight too. This series is going to be a great segue for whoever we play next. And for me, personally, I feel like it might be the Rockets. They're shooters. So if we practice and we put our effort into this defensive mindset that we've had all year and just let our offense flow the way it naturally does and learn how to defend these guys like Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum on the three-point line, all this will do is lead us to higher chance, better performances in our future games.
I agree.
Mid-range Mark wants that headband gang to rise to the occasion.
I'm waiting for them to pull that sign back where they go across the forehead. It was, you know, that was that camaraderie. That was that brotherhood. That was that, yo, if you're going down, we're going down swinging and we're still going to win. If we're going down, we're going to win. Like, there was nothing that could stop them. I really felt like they were just unbeatable at that point. And we could get there because that's us.
Yeah, they have it in them to perform at that level where they're all playing consistent and playing well. It's just been so sporadic that, especially towards the end of the season, that it makes us kind of concerned. But they have it in them. We've seen it from Dwight. We've seen it from Caruso. We've seen it from Danny. We have a great roster up and down. It's just a matter of people playing consistent. And even Kuz is another guy I'll throw in there. He needs to be consistent. And my key to the series is going to be the Lakers shooting. I know I harped on that already, so I'm not going to go for too much longer on it. But I think that we're going to get a lot of looks at the basket. The Blazers' defense is atrocious, which means we're going to get great looks inside, and we'll convert those relatively easily because LeBron and AD are phenomenal finishers. But because the Blazers' defense is bad, we're also going to get a lot of good open looks at the mid-range and at the three-point line. And you got to knock those down because it doesn't matter if you're open. If you're missing them, it's still a miss. Like, it's the same as if you were contested perfectly and you miss it, you know? So it's like you can't waste a terrible defensive effort with just breaking the ball consistently. You got to be able to convert it. So that's my key right there.
To your defensive point, Raichai, I just looked it up. It's been 36, 37 games since Portland held anybody under 100.
Wow.
Dang. Yeah, there you go. I mean, that sums it up right there. No, they're not. They're one of those teams. They're like old school D'Antoni offense, you know, just outscore the other team. Who cares what happens on defense? Just make sure you score at least 1 point more than they do.
Definitely.
All right. So this brings us to the granddaddy of all the questions for this series. What is your series prediction? Who's winning and in how many games? Mid-range, you start us off, my friend.
Oof, I definitely was thinking about this since we started, and I feel like we're going to go 4-1.
So we take it in five?
Take it in five.
The gentleman's sweep?
I think they get one. But that's it. We're going to snuff out the fire after that one.
I like it. MD, what's your prediction, man?
Lakers in seven.
Oh!
Oh, you're going to make our boys work.
I know. You're making me sweat just thinking about that, man.
It's going to come down to it, and it's going to be LeBron hitting like a clutch shot or something for us for that second game.
Don't do me
it's
like
gonna
that.
It's going to be the series to watch.
My heart.
Wow. All right. I mean, it would be great to watch, and I'd be happy if the Lakers win the series ultimately, but I'm going to have a heart attack if it goes seven in the first round. all right. My prediction, Lakers in five also. I'm going to take mid-range's prediction.
I feel like they hold off one game. One game.
Yeah, I think Dame's good for winning a game on his own, which doesn't really sound like a lot, but again, this is a 1-8 seed. The Lakers, they're good, man. They're good. And if we start hitting some shots, I feel like we can put them away pretty quickly. Would I be completely blindsided if it went seven? No, because Dame's another animal, man. He's just crazy. But I think the Lakers are fully capable of closing out the series in five. So that's my prediction for you. All right. Well, the good thing is we all have the Lakers. Call us homers. This is a Lakers podcast. Whatever. We don't care. Most we will times. Ride and die with them. But, you know, we appreciate honesty as well. So, MD, good job, man. Seven games. I like that you... That you're going to make us sweat a little bit. So
we'd stay on this. Sure.
Yeah, for sure. All right. So that'll do it for the series preview. The last thing I want to do before we wrap up this episode, guys, really quickly, I just want to get some predictions for the remaining first round series in the playoffs. The other series that are taking place around the league. So we're just going to go down these series one by one and just quickly get your predictions on what the result is going to be, who the winner will be, and in how many games. So we'll start, we'll keep it in the West. So Houston, OKC, MD, what's your prediction?
Houston in six.
All right. Mid-range?
Yeah, I'd have to definitely agree with that. I say in six also. It's going to be a great series to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think this is going to be the best series in the West for the first round.
Yeah.
I'm going to go OKC in seven.
Whoa.
OKC in seven.
Oof. Small ball is going to fail, huh?
We'll see. I'm looking into my crystal ball, and I see that the small may fall.
Ooh.
All right, next series, Denver, Utah. We have a little bit of a leg up knowing the results of the first game. So Denver's up 1-0. But MD, what's your prediction? Denver or Utah?
Denver sweeps it.
Whoa. All right. Not Denver sweeping.
They played poorly today and they easily defeated Utah at the end when it came down to crunch time. With Conley out of the bubble, they have no second ball handler. They're riding on Jordan Clarkson, which that's not going to do well. Rudy Gobert is terrible offensive. He has no offensive IQ. When the game was close, when they were tied, when it first started, he literally led three straight turnovers, which led to Denver's 6 points and why they had a 6-point lead. Like, he threw the ball away, he slipped on his own, and then he didn't catch a pass. He didn't keep it up. You have nothing, especially against a big like Jokic, and they still have Michael Porter Jr. and Jamal Murray's balling. Like, I love jingles, but just no shot.
Yeah. All right, so you got Denver sweeping. Mid-range, what you got?
I'm going to agree with Denver winning. I think the Jazz will get one. I think they'll get one. I agree with MD over there with the whole with Conley out. Doesn't really help their cause. And the inside-outside game of the Jazz versus the inside-outside game of Denver is just it's different. The versatility mm-hmm. on Denver just outmatches.
It doesn't compare.
Jazz. Yeah.
Yeah. Give me Denver in 4-1. So Denver in 5. Give me Denver in 6. I think Utah is going to pull out a couple of these. Do you want my analysis? No, because there is none. That is a complete guess. All right, next series. Dallas and Clippers. MD.
Dallas in 7.
Holy moly. I hope so. If the Clippers fall in the first round, I will be a very happy man.
I think we're going to see Luka Doncic come out. A Luka that we've never seen before. This guy continues to grow and impress year after year. Even with Kawhi and PG playing against him, more now than ever, we've seen everyone else on Dallas step up. Seth is playing so well. Tim Hardaway Jr. is playing so well. Jalen Brunson, whose name I never thought I would be saying, is playing so well. KP, like, I don't see it. You know, if Kristaps Porzingis can be the Kristaps of old, it's done.
Wow. If that happens, I will cut this audio and send it to ESPN so they can hire you.
Love it.
That is a bold prediction, but I like it. Mid-range, what you got?
So this one, I'm going to say Dallas in 7 also.
Oh, you guys are brave.
I know that they got Kawhi and I know that they got PG, but look at Toronto. They're doing it without Kawhi. So yeah. I'm just saying it wasn't Kawhi. So I agree. I think the big guys on Dallas, they got KP and Boban. They're going to go to town on the centers on the Clippers, and the fact that they can pull them out is going to leave the interior open for Luka to do some magic and hit some layups, mid ranges, or find the open man.
Okay. Okay. I was not expecting two Mavericks picks, but I like it. I'm ultimately going to go Clips. I think the Clips pull it out in 6. I know Toronto's still great even without Kawhi, but Kawhi's good, man. NPG, they got clamps. They're going to D him up. And I know the Mavs have one of the best offenses in the league, but I just think the Clippers are that elite. And as much as I don't want to face them in the conference finals, if we get there, I feel like it's a crash course. And I think they take care of the Mavs somewhat easily. But I hope I'm wrong.
Dude, I think playoff P cancels out anything Kawhi has. Like, they're two equal forces. They cancel each other out.
Oh, playoff P. So you think PG is going to be a burden and just weigh down Kawhi's efficiency?
Playoff P always has been. Playoff P, like, is not a good thing, is a terrible moniker.
Yeah.
He's always like, has he gotten out of the first round in the West? I don't think so, right?
In the West? I don't think so.
I don't compare the West and the East. It's unfair.
I was going to say, obviously, he's made it to the conference finals with Indy. And he's had some good games against Miami when they were going at it in the East. But okay. All right, we're going to rapid fire the East. So save the analysis. Let's just go straight predictions on this one because we gotta wrap pretty soon here. Bucks, Orlando, MD.
Bucks, sweep.
Mid-range. Mid-range, what you got on that series?
Oh no, did we lose Mark?
Mid-range, are you alive? May have lost him. The Eastern Conference is that boring to him. I don't blame him. So, all right. I'll take over his spot. Give me Bucks in four as well. There's no way Orlando wins a game, in my opinion.
Same.
All right. Indy, Miami. What you got? This is a, by the way, I just got to make this a side
gonna,
note. This is going to be a great series.
Fun. This is going to be fun, but Oladipo's still healing. I give Miami in six.
Okay. Okay. Give me Miami in seven. I think it'll be a great series. I want to. I'm all for that TJ Warren, Jimmy Butler matchup, man.
Same. It'd be a different series if Indiana Oladipo is fully healed and they had Sabonis. Sabonis is so good.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. All right, moving on. Boston and Philly. Game one just wrapped up. Boston is up 1-0. But what do you got for the series ultimately, MD?
I think it's going to be Boston in six. No Ben Simmons. Okay. Philly's stuck.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough one for Philly, no doubt. I am going to say Boston sweeps it. I think Boston in four. I think they'll make quick work of them. They're depleted, so be pretty quick in my opinion. And last but not least, Toronto, Brooklyn.
Oh, sweep.
Yeah, give me the sweep as well. Toronto's already up 1-0, but there ain't no way Brooklyn's winning the game. I'm sorry. All right, those are our predictions. Mid-range, you there or you still gone?
Sorry, guys. Losing connectivity there.
It's all good. You only missed the Eastern Conference prediction, so I understand why you went silent.
I would have too.
Yeah, nothing to really wink an eye about or look twice at. It's
true.
We'll see them and we'll smash them in the finals, whoever it is.
I like that. All right, fellas. Well, that'll do it for this episode of the Three in the Key podcast. Mid-range, it has been an absolute pleasure. We miss you, dude. And you are welcome anytime you would like, man, especially now that it's playoffs. Dude, come on every episode if you want to.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. This has been a pleasure, as always. To all the Laker fans, we made it. Be patient and trust in the process. We'll get there, guys. I believe. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Anytime. All right, that'll do it for us. Playoffs begin mañana. Let's get these dubs, guys.